Shear is on the main of the Indian boat. And it's an interesting mitzvah. And the reason why I chose this mitzvah is because it's incumbent on us to explain the mitzvahs of the Torah. And especially when you come across a mitzvah which is often misunderstood. And many times when a mitzvah is misunderstood, people tend to project primitive notions to the mitzvah. So in addition to the mitzvah of learning Torah, if you show the beauty and the chokmah and the depth and the wisdom of Torah, so that is a special, very special key, special fulfillment. And it's almost like the Rambam writes, he says that whenever I come across an area where there's a yesod, a fundamental principle in the Torah, I stop everything and take that first, because that's most important. And this is also like a kind of a concept of a yesod, where a mitzvah is misunderstood and misrepresented, and people look askance at it. So the mitzvah that I chose was one that we're doing this year, and it's the mitzvah of Yibum and Chalitza. And it's a mitzvah which, as I said, is really not dealt with much, and people just know about it. They hear occasionally, they hear Chalitza, but they never really understand what the concepts are in the mitzvah. And also, it's a beautiful mitzvah because it shows you how the structure of Torah Shabbat Sav and Torah Shabbat Peh kind of like interplay. There's an interesting interplay between the two. And how they work. And how our system of Torah is so different from what the world understands as Bible reading. Okay, I mean, our system is taken in a totally different way. And after we get finished learning a mitzvah from Torah Shabbat Peh, the Torah Shabbat Sav is there. In the back, you can see the backdrop and the certain lines of the mitzvah. But the whole mitzvah itself takes on a different form and a different structure. And there is, of course, a certain logical beauty to it. But in today's choice of this topic, the mitzvah revolves around not just technicalities, but a certain philosophical ideal, which we will try to grasp primarily, and we'll try to develop it. Okay, now we'll start with the Rambam in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot. So the Rambam counts the mitzvah of Yibum as one mitzvah, and mitzvah Reish Tetzayin Atzei Reish Tetzayin Ish Yetzivanu Liyos Hayavam Nosei Es Eish Yisachet Keshemeis Lon Yozel. The Torah instructed us that the Yavam, the two brothers, they have two brothers, and one is married and passes away and does not have any children. So then the other brother is obligated to marry the deceased wife. Okay, and the Torah says, Yavam or Yavam or Yavam. Okay, that's the parasha in the end of Kisei, the parasha of Yavam. Now, the next mitzvah, Reish Yizayin, is Hisha Tzivan Liyos HaYavam HaChaletzef Yavam in Lo Yisrael. And in the next mitzvah, he talks about the mitzvah of Chalitza, which is the mitzvah that's done today. Mostly people do Chalitza. In Sodom, I think, sometimes we use it, but mainly most of Chalitza. The second mitzvah that Rambam mentions is the mitzvah that Chalitza should be Chaletzes to the Yavam. And there's a whole Seder of Chalitza. And I think everyone's familiar with the Seder of Chalitza just from reading the Torah itself, where it says a strange procedure takes place where the Yavama goes, Ashayo goes to the Zakenim, to the elders, and she says that the Yavam refuses to marry me, and then there's the process of they go through the process of each one that makes their statement, and then you have Chalitza removing his shoe, and then spitting before him, and the whole, and then everybody says, Chalitza no, Chalitza no. Sounds like a strange procedure, strange proceedings. But when you read the Tarsha B'Chsan, but the Tarsha B'Alpeh really puts us on the right path of understanding what this mitzvah is about. Now, mitzvahs yivum, the Rambam says that mitzvahs yivum kodemes le mitzvahs chalitza. That the mitzvah of yivum is preferable to the mitzvah of chalitza. He says, v'lachein yinikras yivamos. And that's why we call the mitzvah the yivamos. Vafapishi kolalas dinere yivma chalitza b'shol. Even though the tractate of yivamos has both yivum and chalitza. And we call yivamos because yivum is preferable, the Gemara says. Actually, we see it's machlokes. The Gemara says that Abba Shaul held that that chalitza is preferable. So according to him, he would call them a set of chalitzas. So apparently the Rambam is saying that even how you reference a mesechta has to be based on a logical idea. That you don't just call them a set of anything because of the first thing that comes to your mind. I mean, it has to be, referring to reference to Tarsha B'Alpeh, it has to be based on logic. So the reason why we call them the Sefer Yevamos, the Rambam says, is because Yibum is preferable, Mitzvah Yibum is kodemus, and Mitzvah Chalitza. That's what the Rambam says. Now, interesting over here is, first of all, that Chalitza is counted as a separate mitzvah. As a separate mitzvah. Because when you read the Torah itself, you might say the mitzvah is really Yibum. And Chalitza is a way to get out of it. Okay? But you see that the Rambam says that chalitza is not simply a way to become putter from yivum, that you don't have to do yivum, but it's more than that, but it actually is a mitzvah in itself. And that immediately strikes one as strange. I mean, why should that be? Okay, why should that be? Why should chalitza be a mitzvah? Say chalitza, if he doesn't want to do yivum, so then he has to go through the proceedings of chalitza. But to consider chalitza a mitzvah, at first strikes us as strange. But usually we dismiss it. We say, well, it's not really a mitzvah. I mean, it counts as a mitzvah, but usually dismiss the idea. But the Rambam says that the mitzvah yivum is preferred to mitzvah chalitza. So when the Rambam says that it has a priority over chalitza, so immediately that brings to mind something. What it means that it has a priority over chalitza means it's on a par with yivum, and yet yivum has priority. But basically, as mitzvahs, they're both on a par. And now the Rambam quotes the Gemara that it has priority. The implication is that chalitza could have had priority. And as I mentioned before, Abba Shaul does maintain that chalitza has priority. So immediately you're thrown into a certain view of the mitzvah's chalitza. That the mitzvah of chalitza is taken from what we would think would be something that one suffers if they don't want to do yibum, to a mitzvah in its own right, a separate kiyum mitzvah. And that sounds funny because the mitzvah of chalitza seems to be a degrading procedure to the yavam. And why should this have the status of a kiyum mitzvah? I mean, it seems strange. And then even to say that maybe chalitza is even better than yivum, that sounds even stranger, because the plain shot in the pasuk would seem to be clearly that yivum is the main mitzvah. Okay? So, we take a look at the Gemara, the Yevamos. The Gemara of Yevamos is a relatively easy Gemara. The Gemara says the following. That's why I'm going to test on the day of Yevamos. So the Gemara says as follows. What we're showing on the Gemara says, originally Shayim was chazen the same mitzvah. Originally, when people did things for the right reason, for the reason of the mitzvah, So mitzvah yibum kodemes for mitzvah chalitza. So then mitzvah yibum had priority. He says, v'achshav shein mitzvah min l'shein mitzvah, other people don't do it for the right, right reason. They don't do it for the reason of mitzvah. Mitzvah chalitza kodemes for mitzvah yibum. So the reverse, so chalitza comes, it's preferable to yibum. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Bachama, Amar Yitzchak. Chod Yulom on Mitzvah Zibum Kodemus on Mitzvah Chalitza. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, they changed their mind. And just after we got finished saying that Chalitza has priority, now they changed their mind, they reversed themselves, and they said, no, that Yibum takes priority, Yibum is better. You see, the Gemara is having a whole discussion here, which one's better. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi, Chod Yulom on, Amar Rabbi Nachum by Yitzchak. So if Nachum by Yitzchak said, Achshuri Dori? He says, how is this possible? You mean they became bigots of Deacon? Because the Gemara says just the reverse, that originally when people were on a higher level, they did the mitzvah even for the right reason, so the marriage was for the right reason, so then that took priority. But now that it's we were on a lower level, so Halitza takes priority. So the Gemara says, but now they changed their mind. They went back to the original idea that even takes priority. The Gemara says, what happened? Generations became bigots of vegan. That's not impossible, but for usual, you know, it's not easy to lay it up. So the Gemara says, no. May call it Sabri La Kaaba Shaw, but it's self Sabri La Kaaba. So it says, originally they held like Abba Shaw. And here, it's not Abba Shaw and the Rabban. Here's where the Gemara gets to the crux of the issue. Yeah, originally Sabri La Kaaba Shaw, but it's self Sabri La Kaaba. It's trying to, of course, we have a bright. Abba Shaw only. Abba Shaw made the following statement. A Kohenich is Yevinta L'Shem Noi. A person that marries his Yevama because she's beautiful, L'Shem Yishus, because of marriage, L'Shem Yidavar Acher, or because of other reasons. Ki Ilo Pogeya Be'erva. It's as if he's living with a prohibited woman, an Erva. The Korvani Be'inai Rios of Lagman. It says, in my eyes, it would seem almost that the child is a man. The Chachamim Omer, and the Chachamim say, Yevama Yavo Alau Mikom Makom. Okay. So the Chachamim say, no, the Pasuk says, Yevama Yavo Alau, means Mikom Makom. It doesn't matter what his intentions are. We don't care about his intentions. So now you have this focus between Abba Shaul and between the Chachamim. And the Gemara says that Abba Shaul will have the opinion that Mitzvah's Chalitza's go down. Okay. Now that itself is a big problem. Really just to think about this. Because Abba Shaul isn't really saying that Mitzvah Chalitza is Kodemes. What he's really saying is, in a bad situation, then you have no choice to do Mitzvah Chalitza. But he's not saying it has priority, it has the quality of priority. You follow? When we say Kodemes, it means you have two in front of you, and this one has priority. Now, when Abba Shaul says Chalitza Kodemes, the implication is that there's something in Chalitza which is more beneficial. But then he says, the only reason is because people aren't doing it for the right reason. So what kind of a concept is Mitzvah Chalitza to them? What does it mean? It doesn't have priority. It's really the worst choice, the last choice, but you can't do anything about it because people aren't doing it for the right reason. So this whole statement of Abba Shaul is strange on that score alone. Where does he find in Chalitza a priority? It's not a priority. It's an unfortunate situation that we have to deal with. And that's why he says that Chalitza is better than doing the wrong thing with evil. But not that it has priority. The concept of Kodemus doesn't belong here in the Gemara. That's the first. And the second thing is, Abba Shaul's statement is very strange. Because he says, I believe he says the man is living with a forbidden woman, because ordinarily without even he can't live with his brother's wife, even if she should be divorced. And it's Eshesach. And he says, and it's almost as if the child is a mother. I mean, really almost. And Allah, everything is very definite. Either it is or it isn't. You don't have an almost. You don't say this is almost not an error. I mean, either it is kosher or it's not kosher. I mean, there's no concept of an almost in Allah. Allah is very precise. So that requires, that itself is something which is a bit baffling in the Gemara. Okay. So now we'll leave the Gemara for a moment. And will go into the Tamei HaMitzvah. And the Tamei HaMitzvah really oftentimes are underrated, because a lot of people feel that, some people even feel that you're not supposed to even ask Tamei HaMitzvah, but just do it. Just do the mitzvah anyway. You have to ask the reason. But no, that's not true, because it's Nasa Benishma. Nasa Benishma means that even though we do it, we're not finished, but now we have to understand it. So the understanding itself, and that's where Tamei HaMitzvah comes in, is extremely significant. That's the hallmark of Yadav, Nasa Benishma. Now you will do it, but doing isn't really the ultimate accomplishment. It's doing plus understanding. But there's something else also. When a person studies the Tamei HaMitzvah, a person gets focus on the mitzvah, a guideline to the mitzvah. And it's very helpful many times, even in halacha, which is very rigid, detailed analysis and logical conceptualization. But nevertheless, the Tamei HaMitzvah somehow creates a framework and acts as a guide to a person in understanding a mitzvah, even on the halachic level. And here is a very good example. Okay. I'll take the chinuch. The chinuch says the following. The chinuch says that the chinuch and the Shuvah Rashba also, which says very similar, it says like this. He says, that a woman, if she's married to a man, she's like one of his, part of him, part of his girl. Sheken Yechayev HaTeva, he says, that's the concept of Adam HaRishon, that the woman is considered, the union between a man and a woman is considered as if they're like one entity. Vo'ish HaZeh Shemeit Lobanim, and this person has died without children, Sheyi Echelet Mimenu Zikar Lo, L'malos Mekomo Ba'olam Avodah Baruch. So he's in need of having someone in this world that he will leave over that will serve God. He says, So it was God's chesed, therefore, it is what the Torah did was that his wife, which is considered a part of him, and his brother, should marry, and then the offspring will be if she produces, in a sense. Not fully, but in the sense that the wife she was left, and she's a component of him, and the brother's also related to him, so therefore, the offspring is somehow related to him. And with this, he says, it says that this offspring should serve God in his place. And then he says something a little difficult on his name, but he says, V'yizkar yado ba'olam ha'neshamos asher hushom. And he'll be zocha in the world of souls. This will be a benefit to him. Okay? It's interesting because he says later, that he says, I know that the Kabbalah has different reasons here, but he says, I don't go into those kind of Tamei HaMitzvahs. And he says, my purpose is really to give logical reasons. But over here, he seems to be crossing the line, because he's saying that this is a benefit in the world of the souls. What exactly does that mean? Now, I'm not saying that. If someone wants to say there is a deep philosophical concept there that we are unaware of, I'm not against that. But because the philosophy of the existence of souls is a very abstract one, and one can't say at a glance that certain things are or are not. But I think there's a rational way to explain what he's saying as well. And that is that the person, the Torah created this mitzvah of evil so that I don't believe it will help him in the world of souls if he has no cognizance of it during his lifetime. So when the Torah set up the system, so the person, when he's married, he immediately realizes that he, just by being married, he took a step towards perpetuating and making sure that there will be someone in this world, eventually when he's gone, that will be Mali Makomo for first place to serve God. And that is an objective. So by setting up the system, what the Torah did was, the Torah gave every person, I mean, we don't think about this because, you know, we don't know enough Torah, and many times different parts, the Torah is very big, and different parts just, you know, escape us. But when you look and concentrate on the mitzvah, the tzitzit, that this mitzvah was made so that the person, as soon as he gets married, he immediately has the opportunity to feel he made a first step, and no matter what happens, but he still can be the cause of having someone in perpetuity continue the Avodah Hashem. Okay, that's what I think the chinuch is. Okay, but of course, based on that concept, if that is the concept, so we're at even a greater loss, it would seem, to explain chalitza, because chalitza should not be a mitzvah. Okay? And chalitza should not be a mitzvah, because you're denying this person what he should rightfully deserve. Okay? Moreover, the Gemara says, very interestingly, the Gemara says that when the Beis Din shall chalitza convene, so you have the Yavam and the Yavamah come before this Bezdin. And this Bezdin asks them, the first thing the Bezdin does is asks them about themselves and determines whether Yibum is appropriate or Chalitza is appropriate. So you see immediately the way the Torah has it, the way the Torah Shabbat has it arranged, it's not such a simple thing that we just go for Yibum. For instance, the Gemara says if they're not fit for each other, one is old and one is young, so then the Bezdin says, don't do it. Don't do Yibum and do Chalitza is more appropriate. Don't try to make a home that's going to be broken, going to be troubled, and the Bezdin is bound and against it. So you see immediately there's something funny here. It's not like, here we're speaking about an ultimate objective that one would think, well, you have to do that. I mean, after all, it's something you must do. How could a person not do that for his brother? Okay, and now we say, no, Bezdin talks to them and sees it's a good match. If it's not a good match, they say, don't do it. So this immediately strikes us as strange. You say as strange. That somehow the Torah Shabbat came along and mitigated the evil. It deluded it somewhat. Don't get so overexcited about it. I mean, do chalitza better. Okay? So that demands an understanding as to what we see. Something's going on behind the halachic scenes over here. So what I want to do is I'm going to take one machlokas, and I think from this machlokas will another interesting thing about Yibum and Chalitza. And that machlokas is that there's an argument as to where do we learn. See, the Bezdin that convenes for Yibum and Chalitza is a Bezdin of ordinary people. They don't have to be smuchim. And according to some Rishonim, they have knowledge of Hilchos Chalitza. According to others, they don't. Okay. According to the Rambam, they just have to be very literate. And that's enough. And according to Tosfos, there's really no requirement intrinsically altogether. So, again, you see something different going on here. But this Bezdin has one thing that it's required. It must be called Yisrael. The Shein Yisrael must be there in a full-fledged way. And that's why in this case, as opposed to Sanhedrin, it's the person's father's a ger, so the person doesn't qualify. But it has to be the Yisrael. It must represent the full of father Yisrael. Now, this Bezdin, which is the Yisrael, and it's no offense to a person that's here, because Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir wouldn't qualify either, but the father would get. So the halacha has its own objective, that it must ring with a certain sound to it. And that sound is that this Beit Din is Yisrael. As a matter of fact, there's an argument as to where you learn out that a person that is an ordinary person can be a part of this Beit Din. Some say they learn it out from the first part of the pasuk. But also, the Vint HaSharon has a Canaan. There's a Canaan part of the parsha. And others say that you learn it out from Me'ein Yevami Rachim Lachoshim B'Yisroel. And also, the Nikoshmo B'Yisroel Beishol Etanot. So, the way the parsha is divided is, there's the Canaan, and then there's the B'Yisroel. Okay. The Zakanim is a reference to the process of adjudicating. That's what the Zakanim is about. And the Yisrael is a different kind of a reference. It's a reference to the entity that convenes, that they represent all of Klal Yisrael. It's interesting. I mean, those of you who are familiar with the Parsha, I'm sure most of you are. I mean, when you read the Parsha, it sounds like you go up Shara Las Canaan, in the middle of the town, there's gates, and there's Canaan sitting there. And you go up to these Canaan, and in front of the whole town, you see, but in Halacha it doesn't work out that way. The Halacha does not work out that way. There's no gates, there's no elders over there. It's any three people that are appointed, that convene for the sake of perform the Halitza. But everything is represented in the Halacha way. The concept of the Yisrael, the Nikosh Rov Yisrael, all over Klal Yisrael, as a puzzle. It's just in front of these few people. So the Bezin is five. Three is the essential Bezin, and two are interpersonal. So what does that mean? It means that this Bezin is endowed with the shame, halachic significance of all of Klal Yisrael. Okay. So that's what we see from this halacha. Now, the argument as to whether you derive the halacha that you don't need smucha from the Canaan or from the Israel is because this Bezdin has two components to it. It adjudicates and it makes a decision, and that's the first thing it does, really, because what it does is decide whether the Yivam is appropriate or inappropriate. Okay, they do Yivam HaChalitza, that's the first thing they do. But the second thing they do is they represent all of Klal Yisrael and have the Chalitza is done before them as if it's done before the entire nation, because they have the Din of Yisrael. We have a similar halacha like that, and the similar halacha is a minyan. And a minyan, the Rav says many times, that a minyan is like, a minyan is an edel. Which means a minyan is a mini, a capsule of all of Klal Yisrael. A mini form of the entire Klal Yisrael. And over here we have this with a Bezin. That these Bezin of five people are really a miniature of Klal Yisrael. Okay. Now, what is the significance of this concept? Why do we have this Bezin that's composed of two components, two themes? Okay, what is the concept behind it? So, what we said is as follows, that the mitzvah is really a double-layered mitzvah. See, on the one hand, we're concerned about the yavam, okay? But that really is not the essence of the mitzvah, because our concern about the yavam is very nice, but that still is not the heart of the mitzvah, not the essence of the mitzvah. The essence of the mitzvah is that this mitzvah, these two mitzvahs of Yivam and Chalitza, they really espouse, they promote a yisod in the dust, a fundamental concept in Yahadus. And that is that a person should not live their lives for themselves, and even if they engage in perfection, in pursuit of perfection, in Avodas Hashem, they shouldn't feel that this is enough. They've accomplished their goal. But they have a responsibility to produce or to make sure that after they are gone, that there will be a memale makom, someone to serve God in their place. Of course, this can be fulfilled in many ways. Now, the Talmidim is Talmidah, there are many ways that a person can fulfill it. But that's why the Torah didn't really insist on Yibum. What the Torah did was, it took Yibum as a possibility or as an opportunity to demonstrate this fundamental yourself, this fundamental principle. That was really the purpose of the concept of Yibum. And, however, Chalitza demonstrates it just as well, perhaps. Because in Chalitza, what you're doing is, you're going through a program which is not degrading personally, because it can't be degrading personally, because 99% of the person insists on it. I can't degrade the person, they're doing the right thing. But the process is one which shows and demonstrates from the nature of its structure that Yibum is an ideal. What does that mean? That means that the ideal of the Torah is that a person must live their life not only with themselves and their mind for perfection, but that they must have an eye on future generations and making sure that others fill their place and serve God when they aren't here anymore. And that's the yesod in the concept of Hasharas HaNefesh, the concept of the soul and perfection, not the yesod in Yahweh. So what the Torah did was a very beautiful thing. The Torah took this opportunity of Yibum, didn't insist on it, because you can't have every situation of Yibum, and you don't have every case that most times Yibum doesn't even come into existence. But many times not even a possibility of Yibum. That requires a lot of conditions. So, but nevertheless, the Torah took this opportunity to take this concept and make it into a mitzvah, and make through the mitzvah have people realize that this is an ideal in Klal Yisrael. Now, it could be done in two ways, either through Yibum, because the actual Yibum itself accomplishes that, or else it could be done through another method, through Chalitza, because of the process of Chalitza points to the fact that Yibum is an ideal. So the way the woman is freed from the Yavam is a method which states that the ideal is not here. The ideal is lacking here. So the fact that it, through the negative, it presents the positive, and it shows one that this ideal is here. So the ideal can be accomplished in two ways. It's either through Yivam or through Chalitza. So that's why they're both mitzvahs. Okay? Because the essence of the entire thing is that this ideal should be promoted in Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Beis Din, now that the Torah realized you can't have a chalitza turn to all Klal Yisrael, it's not possible. But the halacha comes along, and the halacha takes this Beis Din and gives them the din of Yisrael, so that anyone who's involved in this mitzvah recognizes that this is not just an ordinary thing, but this is something which is a yesod in Yahadus, a fundamental principle. So the mitzvah becomes a vehicle of inspiring people and teaching them this yesod, which the Rashba says, this yesod is mentioned by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu said to God, So this is an ideal that goes back to Avraham Avinu. And it's a yesod in the dust. And it's a part of Avat Hashem. So the Torah simply took this opportunity to promote the ideal, and it did it in two ways, either through Yibum or through Chalitza. But it never insisted on Yibum, you see, because many times it's inappropriate. And you can teach the lesson to Klal Yisrael in the same way through Chalitza, you see. Now, what's the difference? What's the argument between Abba Shalom and between the Chachamim? The argument is as follows. The Abba Shaul said, the question is not in Chalitza. In Chalitza, everybody agrees that Chalitza is a wonderful mitzvah. If a person did that mitzvah properly, he fulfilled God's will that this concept should be known in Klal Yisrael. Okay. But, so far as Yibum is concerned, there is where you have the argument. See, Abba Shaul held that the only way you can demonstrate this ideal is where the person does it for the right reason. If the person doesn't do it for the right reason, he's doing it for his own gratification, so then the ideal is not being expressed at all. So that's why Abba Shaul said, how do you determine it? It depends upon the generation. If the generation is not on that level, so then you can't even fulfill the mitzvah as a mitzvah people. In other words, the ideal is not going to be represented because the person is doing it for their own gratification. They're not doing it for the real reason. So by that fact alone, by that fact, you are thwarting the goal of the Torah, which is to represent the ideal. So that's why he says that mitzvah chalitza is the real way to demonstrate. Through the negative, you're demonstrating the positive idea. And through the yibum, which is the positive, you're not demonstrating anything. And that's why he says, it seems to me, it's as if he's living with someone that's not supposed to be living with. And why did he say the child also needs a mamzer? Not a lot of the mamzer, of course. But what he means is the offspring is supposed to be part of that ideal of the representation of the concept of Avodas Hashem. But over here, it won't represent it because the person did it obviously for their own personal selfish reason. So it wasn't done for the right reason, so it doesn't reflect the ideal. So that's why Abba Shaul says that mitzvah chalitza is kodemus, because both of them are equal in the sense that they accomplish the goal of demonstrating the ideal. But the question is, which way is preferable to demonstrate? So Abba Shaul says, where there will be no demonstration for you, I hold that it's almost a violation of those. You're breaking, you're not even accomplishing the ideal of the chalitza, thus. And the other method even doesn't demonstrate anything. So you're really a violation. Theoretically, even technically you're doing anything into a violation. But in terms of the whole purpose of the mitzvah and the kiyam mitzvah of the ideal, you have done nothing. And as a matter of fact, it's almost like you're in violation in terms of the way you're living within the child. The offspring has nothing to do with the concept of producing someone in one's place in order to serve God. So that's why he says, mitzvah chalitza to go down. What does the Chacham hold? The Chacham disagrees. The Chacham is saying, no, you don't only have Allah and come on. Here the Chacham is saying, it doesn't matter why he does it. The manifestation of the ideal is not dependent on the individual's personal intent. But the Torah simply established the institution itself. And the fact that the institution of Yibum exists, that itself is a representation of the ideal. So the machlokes between Abba Shaul and between the Chachamim is, what is the vehicle, did the Torah use in Yibum of representing this ideal? Was it the personal intent of the Yavan, you see? Or was it the mere existence of the institution? That people know that Yibum is a place. So that itself reflects the ideal. That's the way the Chacham is acting. But that's the reason, that's the basic understanding of the Maharaj. So you see here, as I said before, the significance of understanding a Tam HaMitzvah, because a Tam HaMitzvah really is not just an external, it's not just an external phenomenon. There's a difference between the Tam HaMitzvah, for instance, that the Rambam has in the Mar Yochum and Tam HaMitzvah and Yah. Tam HaMitzvah and Yah are more intrinsic. But that doesn't mean to say that the Tam HaMitzvah in the Mar Yochum Tam HaMitzvah or Ramban or the other ones who are at the Tam HaMitzvah, that it's not significant in terms of casting a light on the halacha. But over here is a clear-cut example where you see that the Tam itself is really essential to understanding the very machlekes, the core machlekes in Yibum and Chalitza between Abba Shaul and the Chachamim. And actually, I mean, what the name of the Masechta is if it's ever by that. Okay, that's basically what I wanted to bring to light, because I share some important mitzvah that is that has important, great importance in terms of the Yesodia Dust and Yesodia Yahadus, and it's often misunderstood and misrepresented, and people look at it as if it's, they look at it askance, as if it's something that we don't want to talk about. This. But on the contrary, you see that when you study the Torah, you find the Torah opens up worlds of ideas and fundamental principles in Yahadus. Any questions? Okay, if you want, we can stop there. If you want, we can take up something from Parsha Zohar. Yeah, okay. I've got a Rambam here. I've got a Rambam.
Yaakov, you want to make it?